Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, My Feelings Are Hurt, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what is my responsibility for my direct feelings? What do I do when feelings are hurt? And how do I give feedback when someone has hurt someone's feelings?
Hey folks, February 1st and 2nd, we are in Silicon Valley for one of our public conferences. We have an Effective Manager Conference on the 1st and an Effective Communicator Conference on the 2nd. We still have some slots. We'd love for you to sign up. Come to the website, check it out.
All right. This is a fun one, Kate.
I'm pretty excited about it. I think, though, that I have a bit of a disclaimer. I am a little dark mark on this.
All right. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to... I think my perception of this is a little even more harsh than I remember, that I thought mm-hmm. before we started talking about this cast. So we're here to talk about what happens when someone's feelings are hurt, which happens during our professional lives. Everyone has feelings, conflicts occur, it's inevitable. Mm-hmm. Role power, insecurity of those people who don't have role power, that can heighten the tensions associated with work and conflict.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So we're going to talk today about how to navigate the dangerous waters of hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Starting with the manager's responsibility for hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. That is, we're talking here, we're manager tools. So essentially we're talking about what we do as managers when it is our directs whose feelings are hurt. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to, I want to say a controversial point, one that I'm going to make anyway. Mm-hmm. You, as a manager, are not responsible for the feelings of anyone other than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds scandalous, right?
Yeah, in this day and age, in the 21st century.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's true.
Yeah, it's scandalous, but also true.
Yeah.
We may not agree, but that doesn't mean it's false.
And we're going to talk about this in a future Executive Tools cast, that the principle that you're not responsible for other people's feelings is axiomatic. And we should be upfront clear about axiomatic, which is derived from axiom. Its definition is something that is self-evident or unquestionable. Mm-hmm. Axioms are concepts that are unprovable and taken to be true because they're self-evident and unquestionable.
Let me break in here real quick, Kate. If you want access to this cast, the Executives Tools cast, you're going to need to become a licensee, mm-hmm. right? That's how you get access to this additional content, which Kate is referring to now.
Mm-hmm. Future Executive Tools cast, we're going to take the time to derive from modern organizational theory that you are not responsible for the feelings of anyone else other than yourself. We're going to derive that from theories around modern organizations. We assure you it's easily done. Here, though, for the purposes of manager tools, mm-hmm. we focus on actionable guidance to help you in your day-to-day professional life. We're going to assert it.
We're not going to talk about the theory.
Right.
We're only going to talk about the action.
Yeah. Which is good news for y'all because you don't have to hear us say axiom too many more times.
Yeah, exactly.
The next few paragraphs.
Yeah.
The axiom that feelings are not the purview of managers because they're not the purview of organizations
mm-hmm.
is accepted as a core principle of human organizations.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe we need to make sure that we've covered the fact that today we're kind of going to touch on this from two points of view, right? First, the manager's responsibility for feelings, and then also how to give feedback about hurt feelings. That's what we're going to cover. If you're looking for the actionable guidance piece of manager tools, that's our kind of
totally
like topic outline kind of thing for today.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, again, we're taking it to be a known that you as a manager are not responsible for the feelings of anyone other than yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, it would be totally normal for many managers, including yourself, to be astounded by this assertion, right? Now, in the past two decades of manager tools, We've been met with gapes of incredulity when we've shared this guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the axiom of the irrelevance of feelings to the organization and therefore to you as the role of manager is a well-established as an axiom of the value of profit or the continuation of the organization, the necessity of external results, the general value of retention, the capitalistic competition. I mean, this axiom is as true as all of those other knowns,
mm-hmm.
those things that we know to be true. It is that true.
It's funny, you mentioned the incredulity of people who hear this. I talked about this yesterday in our conference. We had a conference here in Austin. We were talking about effective communication, and somebody brought up, what if someone's response to my behavior around tailoring negative? And luckily, I had been with the group for a couple of days, and I got less shock at the sentence. And I was reminded of, you know, the fact that not everyone is aware of this. And if we're talking about all these kind of axioms and the truths behind organizations, there's plenty of discussion on the validity, right?
Totally.
People love to do it. And that's generally good. Disagreements, discussions, they unearth things. And also, specifically this concept, has survived hundreds of years of such challenges and remains. And that's how we get to that axiomatic thing.
Absolutely. And to be fair, the fact that most managers don't know this, and to Kate's point, that most people are flabbergasted when we bring it up, it doesn't make it any less true.
Right.
Okay, it's just as true, even though you don't necessarily believe it. And this is much less a commentary on the lack of knowledge of managers as it is on the paucity of the basic training none of us ever got about how human organizations work. And perhaps more importantly, why human organizations work, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are things that we're not trained, we're not told as managers. They are truths, though, of organizational life. And again, all of these things that we're talking about are super theoretical, not actionable. They're all things that are covered in exec tools as opposed to here. Here, we're going to talk more about the action.
Yeah. You came here looking for solutions, and we're going to provide them.
Mm-hmm.
And the axiom remains, individual feelings are neither the purview of organizations or managers. And our assumption is that you're a manager.
Right.
And there's a great story, which you may have heard from us before, the Mark and the Umbrella story, which we're going to share here to demonstrate a different perspective on this idea.
It's a common sense way to help people grasp the idea that while feelings may be popular,
they are,
focusing on them is not useful for managers. And so the story goes. Mark got into an elevator once with a friend of his. And another individual, a third individual, got in after Mark and his friend. So what that means is, logically, if you close your eyes and you're picturing this, Mark and his friend get in, they turn around, and they back up so that their backs are essentially touching the back of the elevator. There's a third person in the elevator standing in front of them. And everyone, as everyone does when they're in an elevator, is standing facing a single direction toward the door. Now, this third person who is standing in front of Mark and his friend, who again, their backs are to the back of the elevator, the third guy has an umbrella under his arm. And as the elevator's going up, he starts searching in his pockets, he's looking for his keys, he's mussing around. And in doing so, that umbrella that's under his arm starts poking Mark in the chest. And he probably doesn't even realize it. I mean, how many times are you fumbling around with keys or something and you're poking somebody and you don't realize it? Right? It happens to us all, right? So
yeah.
Mark's being poked in the chest by this guy's umbrella while in the elevator. Now, again, Mark's at the back of the elevator. He's got nowhere to go. He can't back up. If he could, he would, but he can't. And so he glances over at his buddy, doesn't say anything at this moment, but raises his eyebrows as if to say, can you believe this guy? Seriously, poking me in the chest with his umbrella.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. How could he? And Mark is ready, just about ready, to tap the guy on the shoulder and say, excuse me, sir, you're poking me in the chest with your umbrella.
Yeah, with a bit of venom, right? Like
right, with a bit of venom. Like,
excuse me.
Right? Do you know what you're doing? But as he goes to do it, the elevator stops, the door opens, and umbrella guy gets out.
Ta-ta.
Exactly. Now it's just Mark and his friend in the elevator. And when the doors close, Mark turns to his friend and says, man, that guy made me mad. And at this moment, Mark's friend turns back to him and says something he'll never forget. No, he didn't. He poked you with an umbrella. You got mad all by yourself. The moral of the story here being that no one causes your feelings to be hurt. No one directly causes you to be mad or to be sad or to be glad, for that matter. Others' actions happen to us, and we ourselves decide how we want to feel about it.
And I think this story, this experience that Mark had, demonstrates the space between what a person does and then your reaction to it. When you think about it, you know, if you were to demonstrate a single behavior for a number of different people, their reactions would all be different. And that's part of why emotions are not within the purview of managers, is because they're individual. There are people whose response to something you say is that they're mad, but other people don't feel that way at all. It doesn't bother them. There's
right.
A couple of years ago, I said something to a friend of mine about another friend and not being worried about that friend's opinion. And the person I was talking to interpreted that as, oh, Kate's mad at this other person. In fact, what I actually meant was, I don't care about that person's opinion on this item. Nothing about the person, just that opinion doesn't matter in this instance. So, you know, my interpretation of what I was saying was, oh, it's factual. And the other person's interpretation was, oh, they're having a fight.
Or spat. Yeah.
Yeah. This is your perception of what's happening to you plays so heavily into your feelings. You have very little, honestly, ability to predict even how someone will feel about what it is that you say or do. And I would even go so far to say, as a lot of times, most people don't even tell you about what you said and it's their reaction to it. So you don't always know that, you know.
You don't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah, that people are feeling a different way about the exact same thing.
The same thing happens to two or three people and they're all reactions, their feelings are all different about it. Mm-hmm. It's a self-decision, right? Like your feelings, your emotions. And even more so, even if you think to yourself, well, I have this feeling, it's like you can choose to change how you feel about it. And it's the self-decision, the ownership of our response to things, which arises from individual freedoms, which we're blessed to be allowed to enjoy, that is so critical to how the organization feels, the organization's viewpoint about your feelings. The organization doesn't feel things about your feelings. They have a view on it.
Yeah. I mean, folks, think about it this way. If organizations were to believe that anyone's actions could directly cause feelings in another person without any self-thought, self-reflection, self-ownership, then all human organizations would dissolve into a morass of conflict, bitterness, and ultimately organizational death, right?
Yes, of course. It'd be like nothing would be getting done. We'd be fighting all the time. You'd blame everybody else for everything that happens to you. It's literally the opposite of Zen and the reasons that organizations exist.
Yeah. Right?
Organizations exist to multiply, focus, enhance, channel human ability, not destroy it in human conflict.
Exactly. Organizations know it. You are responsible for your own feelings. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just human nature. Any decent psychologist or therapist will tell you that. In fact, Wendy talks often about how therapists often think about problems. Recently, earlier this week, I believe, she released a podcast about how therapists think about others' feelings. Mm-hmm. But in Career Tools, she regularly shares that therapists don't focus on the cause of our problems, rather on our own response to those problems. Mm-hmm. In that if your response to a problem is not problematic, you probably don't actually have a problem after all.
Yeah.
It's all about perception.
It's the difference between when you get in the car to drive somewhere and you have time to get there, and the difference when you get in the car to drive somewhere and you're running late.
Totally. Perfect analogy.
I love it. The person who is in front of you who brakes a lot is very frustrating if you're running late. If you have all the time in the world, you don't mind. You think, oh gosh, I wonder,
it'll
be
fine. I need to switch lanes.
They must be looking at something. That's interesting. Maybe they're a tourist because of where I live, right? It's so funny though, because if you think about the majority of driving you do, you can't speed up enough in a 5-mile trip to save any realistic number of minutes. If you're running late, you're going to shave a minute, perhaps.
Max.
And so if that's the gap between how on time you are, most of the places you're going, they don't notice, right? They don't notice a minute.
Yeah, they don't notice that you.
So it's that thing. It's that your experience of lateness causes your frustration. It's a problem you've created on your own in much the same way that we do in organizations. We do this all over because we're humans and we're messy. Our responsibility for our own feelings is axiomatic in human psychology and sociology. It doesn't dissolve, that truth doesn't disintegrate when you join an organization. In fact, organizations actually expect us to take greater responsibility for our feelings because of increased conflict associated with putting a lot of people in close proximity to each other. Right. An organization forces you to interact with more people. And hey, that means increased conflict. Social distancing ignored.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And to go a step further, I'm sure many of you have heard us say this before. Mm-hmm. We often say the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. Two. Now, when we put 500 or 1,000 people in the same organization, we've got now a cauldron of conflict.
It's messy.
It's just brewing. Exactly. And if those organizational members are then blaming everyone else for their feelings all the time, everything falls apart. It disintegrates.
Yeah.
Another way to think about it is to remind ourselves of the derivation of the word responsibility. The word responsibility is the smushing together of two words into a new word, the words being response and ability. Meaning, we have the ability to choose our response.
Mm-hmm. We're responsible for our own feelings and no one else's because we and only we have the ability to choose our response. Mm-hmm. Anything else is an abdication of the freedoms we are in fact asserting when we claim that someone has hurt our feelings.
Mm-hmm. And guys, it would be easy here to begin to get the sense that this guidance is in some way uncaring of other people, which is false. Effective managers do care about how our people are doing, often deeply. We wish no sadness or difficulty on anyone. We want a calm, professional, respectful, and kind workplace for all. But there's a difference between accepting responsibility for other people's feelings. That's something we can't take from them. It's a dangerous arrogation. And understanding that there may be times when some action will make your team more effective is our role as a manager.
This knowledge, this understanding, which we've been driving home, informs an intelligent manager's response when someone claims that their feelings have been hurt. And okay, so please keep in mind that when we say hurt feelings, we don't only mean sadness. Mm-hmm. Hurt feelings in the context of management, your experience as a manager, could be someone getting mad, like after getting poked with an umbrella.
Very similar to that.
Yeah.
Very similar to that.
It's not that we don't care. We do care very much. And even if we were to be arrogant enough to assume that we have control over this situation, not that we don't have some influence. We'll talk about how to influence and what to do here in a few moments. But the arrogance associated with the idea that we have some ability to control another person's response is a bit breathtaking. And if you think through, okay, this person has hurt feelings, is another person stepping in to meet? I mean, I've never seen that even in my personal life, right? Accepting management. I've never seen that really work. The idea that someone will talk to somebody else and that will fix the thing that happened when the other person talked. We're going to go more deeply into this in our section about what to do here in a few moments. So I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole. I'm just trying to imagine it ever having been useful to go through that kind of exercise of, oh, hey, like, let's talk about this with someone who really, you can't do anything about it, right? Somebody comes to you and says, oh, so-and-so hurt my feelings. You don't have any control over the other person's feelings.
Right.
That's just not your purview. There's so much still, I think, yet to say about feelings in the workplace, right? And part of that is because workplaces are measured and metered and evaluated in hundreds of different ways. They're supervised, annotated, recorded, and archived. Organizational life is a life that is heavily regulated and observed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this may sound heavy-handed. It's not. Mm-hmm. These efforts at measurement and control are freely accepted by all of us because we know the reason they exist is for the good of our organization. Mm-hmm. If we didn't measure our costs, we couldn't know whether or not we should cut our costs. If we didn't measure our productivity, we wouldn't know when we needed to change directions or redouble our efforts. We measure things that are needed for the success of our organization. But guess what's not measured? Feelings.
Yeah.
More importantly, feelings are entirely unmeasurable. In fact, they're not verifiable. And it makes them an anathema to organizations, whether we like it or not. We can't know beyond self-assertion what anyone else is feeling.
Which is super, super obvious if you think about if you've ever said how you've said something about how you feel that wasn't really fully descriptive of how you feel. I can't imagine there's a person listening that hasn't had the experience of stating out loud, oh, I feel fine about something, when in fact they didn't, right? Yeah. Even when people self-assert, it's not always accurate. So
totally.
Even the idea of
unknowable information.
Exactly. It's like even the data point that we would have, which is self-assertion, could be not accurate.
Could be. Yeah, exactly. Could be false data. Totally. Absolutely.
We can't know.
There are very few areas of organizations where we accept as fact that we can't measure or verify or at least create proxies of measurement, right?
Right.
These components of feelings is why organizations have not, for hundreds of years, valued feelings. It's because the organizations have learned over decades of evolutionary growth that feelings are a form of individual tyranny.
Hey folks, we have one of our more unusually timed effective manager virtual conferences delivered by Zoom starting on January 31st of this month. This one starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. Maybe not ideal if you're on the East Coast of the U.S., but we're doing this specifically to cater to those folks who are in Australia. Now, we always have folks from the U.S. sign up for these, folks on the West Coast. It'll be 5 o'clock when you start, maybe do it at the end of the day. But that will be running for a series of 4 sessions, and they'll all be at 8 o'clock Eastern to accommodate our many tens of thousands of listeners and members and licensees in Australia. So for those of you down under, join us starting January 31st for a virtual Effective Manager Conference.
Before we get to what to do, one more powerful concept. None of what we have said here is intended to diminish anyone's feelings, nor our care for our fellow humans and colleagues.
Totally.
While the organization doesn't consider feelings, we managers as humans, of course, care and should care how our colleagues are feeling. To become a manager is not to become soulless or uncaring.
Right.
We have been adamant here at Manager Tools for almost 2 decades that the heart of great management is love, which is about as true of an endorsement of feelings as we can assert. I think, in fact, that the times in my life when I have worried most about another person, it was about my directs and their situation and the position that they were in. And relative to the organization, sure. But I do remember some of the more sleepless nights I've spent, especially recently with the pandemic and things, being about my directs and the good in their lives, right? And the happiness that they feel.
Absolutely.
We're not saying we're not interested.
Yeah.
Or don't care.
We're not monsters. Right? We're definitely not monsters.
We're nice, I swear.
We're nice. The thing is, when someone's feelings are hurt, we need to learn the professional approach that while we care about the person, we must be cautious in employing the resources of the organization toward those feelings. Mm-hmm. To use the resources of the organization to, in some way, try and eliminate hurt feelings is to completely pervert the purpose of the organization in the service of the tyranny of self-asserted feelings.
Thanks, all. We'll be back next week with the continuation of this topic. We'll be right back.